Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. It's Dr. Kevin Morse, normally with us on Monday mornings, but he was traveling yesterday. Where are you coming back from, my friend?
I was coming back from Asheville, North Carolina.
How are things in Asheville, North Carolina?
Yeah, I've never been there. It's a beautiful place. Great part of the state. Hilly, beautiful, up in the mountains. The Biltmore Estate is unbelievable. But more importantly, I went to a great conference with some really good speakers. So it's nice when you go to a conference and there's quality speakers there, and it was fun. So.
What's the lamest speech you ever saw at a medical conference?
Oh, God, I'll tell you, there's some where the speaker just really just sits up there and reads his slides, and it can just be so boring. It's like I could have read this at home, you know. So presentation skills really come across for us and really kind of.
And now we will look at the esophagus.
Right.
That kind of thing?
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah, good times. Doc told me a great story a while back about continuing education. And at one point having to walk away from a continuing education seminar because the seminar, which was sold to be a continuing education seminar for doctors have to do this every year, was a AV cart in a strip mall with a videotape that you were asked to put in the machine and sign up on a clipboard.
Yeah.
Good times, huh?
How about that?
That's why Doc is good. He actually left that room and said, this won't count.
Yeah, you don't get credit for that?
No credit.
No, that's a bummer.
All right, so let's talk about concussions. We meant to do this a couple of weeks back. You know, we're getting into the summer season now. Baseball, obviously, there's concern about getting hit by a pitch. It won't be long. Kids will be in football camp again. Soccer, all of that. You know, it's not just kids. It's adults as well. But kids and concussions, are you worried?
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting that Dave Duerson bill, one of our representatives, tried to put forward a bill to limit tackle football in Illinois. Four states are looking at it right now, and they came back and said, you know what, there really is no data that says that we should even consider this. So that was back in, I don't know, earlier in the year. The House Bill 4341, it passed through the Health Committee, and now it's been referred to the Rules Committee. But now what is interesting is a study that just came out of the Annals of Neurology, which is a highly reputable journal, that talks about the impact of kids who play under the age of 12. And that's probably, hopefully they'll take that into consideration.
Explain a concussion. Is it a brain bruise?
Yeah, essentially it's a brain bruise. And, you know, everyone's probably had one or had someone that they know has had one or has come close to having one. And essentially, we have to remember, our brain is held in our skull and there's not a lot of movement that it can make. So it's essentially a brain bruise. So what this, everybody remembers the Boston College, University of Boston, where they 211 football players donated their brains after they died because of CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. What they did is those individuals, those guys doing the study now, called back to the families and said, tell me when your individual started playing football and tell me when they started having symptoms. Which is fascinating that they started to go back instead of what is just going on in the brain now. And what they found is that those who played football before the age of 12 had an average onset of symptoms 13 years earlier than those who did not play football.
I think that's what is confusing. It certainly confuses me about how, you know, I could be in the NFL, sustain whatever injuries I've sustained, and then 10 years later, 20 years later, the damage kicks in. Is it the aging of the brain combined with the damage that was done?
Yeah. And it's a lot of it's a cumulative damage. And they're not exactly sure why, but their presumption is that as we have trauma to the brain, we get inflammation, just like we do with a muscle or anywhere else. And then with that inflammation, the body tries to start to heal. And what they're afraid is that they're putting down this amyloid protein, which is then leading to early onset dementia and some aggressive nature in individuals.
So is there a way to stop that damage? So in other words, if a kid starts playing peewee football, say, and then there is a little bit of damage and then stops by a certain age, will it regrow or will it kind of fix itself? Or once the damage is there, that's it?
See, that's the million-dollar question, because how do you do that study? So what they've done is they've looked at individuals who have played football early and then continue to play football, because that's who's had their brains donated. The ones that they can't really do is say, tell me about that kid who played football early and then stopped playing football. What about him? The other thing is these studies take decades. So, you know, when we talked about, you know, the All of Us study that's going to be started here, studies like that are going to allow us to watch things over decades instead of, if you take this drug today, tell me how you feel tomorrow.
We'll come back with more, Doc, in a second. Justin has questions, some of them about this topic. Sandberg's got questions. Dave's got questions. Super Joe doesn't have any questions because he's running the show. This is all sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Dr. Kevin Most standing by, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Hey, Doc, I got to ask you something, not related generally to the concussion story, but related to football. Brett Favre, just in an interview, said yesterday that he had substance abuse issues to the point of doing rehab on multiple occasions. I think he admitted to three during the course of his career. I don't know that we were aware of that.
We weren't. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm glad he has come out to share this. You know, we know we've talked about the opioid problems that we have about in this country. We've talked about alcohol abuse in this country. You know, we need people like him to come out and say, hey, you know what? I had this problem. I went and sought help, and I failed, but I went back and sought help. And, you know, now I have beat this addiction. It's ridiculous when we look at and we see the number of people, you know, 50,000 people dying of opioid addiction, you know, every year in this country, you know, close to 200 people a day. It's very sad, and it's something that we need to get our arms around. And sometimes it takes a celebrity to say, hey, go out there and fight the addiction.
Exactly right. All right, let me go around the room here and get your concussion questions in, Dave.
Well, I just want to add one thing on Favre.
Make it
quick. He said once he took 14 Vicodin at once.
How is he alive?
That's my question. I mean, wouldn't that kill you?
That is amazing. Absolutely.
Was he a horse?
So he either had this high tolerance. I'm not even sure, because when you hear those numbers, those are the numbers, even lower than those numbers, people stop breathing and die unless they have Narcan there. So that blew me away when I saw that.
Wow. Concussion question.
Okay, do you believe, Doc, because a lot of people are wrestling with this, can they make the game safer? I know they can't take... And I guess we're talking football here, but I guess this would apply to any sport. But football specifically, can they make it safer so that you can say, okay, it's okay for my kid to play?
Yeah, and Dave, you know, we've talked about the equipment that they have now, that they can identify concussions earlier. You know, some of the helmets now will change colors, some of the monitors they wear with mouth guards. When you get the kids, and you know from Northwestern, you get the kids as big as they are, running as fast as they can, you cannot slow down that impact that's not going to cause it unless you change the rules of the game dramatically. Look what they do for soccer. No heading the ball until after a certain age. In hockey, no checking until after a certain age. That's in the younger group. But as you get to the olders with the high school and college and professional, you take guys that big with that much muscle mass, I'm not sure you can make the equipment good enough to protect them.
So where's the balance between the inherent risk and in sports?
Yeah, that's a tough question, you know, and again, it's kind of trying to do these studies because the VA did a study that showed that even minor concussions increase your incidence of dementia at a much earlier age. It's things that we never knew in the past that we're starting to do more and more studies on brain injuries.
Doc, Justin Kaufman here. I'm interested, really, when it comes down to when we go back to the political situation in Springfield, where the bill did not have enough interest from lawmakers and that there weren't enough votes to get something passed that would make tackle football legal for kids under 12. Are we at a point where this is more of an awareness campaign where more and more parents need to know this, so it's not this idea of, well, I used to play when I was 10 or my grandparents used to play when this is just the nanny state taking over? These concepts that this is actually a health crisis that we should be paying attention to, even if we did it differently when we were younger.
Absolutely. You know, we can either look at it, let's legislate it or let's educate. And if we can't legislate, then let's educate. And when you look at now, look at high schools right now, you're starting to see big high schools. Wheaton-Warrenville South out here, used to have, you know, five, six, you know, I don't know, three freshman teams, if I'm not mistaken, and now much less because people are being educated in that. It's interesting, as a parent, I think you'd want to do everything that you could to protect your child's livelihood and life in the future. And just be educated as far as what the impact of this is and what studies are showing now and make a decision. It's very difficult, but you, like you said, you don't want to be that helicopter mom or that nanny mom, and you want to make sure the kids learn how to act as a team player and learn out things, but we may have to readdress this.
It's Dr. Kevin Most at Northwestern. Thanks. Sounds like you're fighting the allergies today.
I am. It's I don't know whether it's because I was in North Carolina and just got back or what, but yeah, I am congested again today.
Was there a comfort monkey on the plane? Did you hear about the monkey?
I heard the monkey as I was driving in, but it was like you're pushing it towards Dave Ennett, and I didn't think as...
Well, don't you believe, Doc, that all monkeys deserve a name?
Oh, yes, they all do.
Right? That's what, that was my point.
This is the issue Dave's running on. Set center in his platform.
Yeah.
Feel better, bud. Thanks.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
That's Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Again, the pursuit of better health care starts here.